Krista Moore, and I work at Public Health Seattle in King County. And today I'm hoping to share some results from a process evaluation we did on some equity-based approaches we did to improve representativeness of a new population-based survey in King County called the Best Starts for Kids Health Survey. I just want to make sure to acknowledge that there were a lot of people who contributed to this work, including several people in the room, and I just happened to be up here talking about it. So just as background, King County is the largest county in Washington State. It includes large urban areas like the city of Seattle, as well as really rural and isolated communities like Vashon Island. And importantly, it's becoming more ethnically diverse. And a good example of this can be found in the Tutwiller School District, where in 2014, families and students spoke more than 80 languages. And so as a local health department, we have to be aware of the diverse communities that we serve and also to try and have data to represent those diverse communities. So in November of 2015, King County voters passed a property tax levy called Best Starts for Kids. And this is a six-year initiative that will invest about $65 million a year in promotion, prevention, and early intervention with the goal ultimately of just having thriving youth and young adults. And even though Best Starts for Kids has always been grounded in the best science, we had no local data really on children from birth to about sixth grade. And this data gap meant that we didn't really know where we were starting at baseline, and we certainly wouldn't have data to assess whether we were making improvements at the population level and which populations would be are experiencing those improvements. And so to fill this data gap, we designed the Best Starts for Kids Health Survey. So I'm not going to talk a lot about the methods, but I do have a colleague, Eva Wong, who's presenting after this. And so if you want to learn more about the sampling frame, please see her presentation. But just a quick snapshot, this is a population-based cross-sectional survey. We asked parents and caregivers of children from who were from birth to fifth grade to answer questions about their kid. The survey questions included content around child and family behaviors, strengths, needs, supports, things around child care and school arrangements, and community supports and neighborhood strengths. And these were questions directly related to Best Starts for Kids, where we also had data gaps. We fielded the survey from September 2016, and it ended in January 2017. The data was actually delivered to us at the end of February, so this is really new, and we're excited about it. We use best practice survey methods for this type of population-based survey with a pre-survey announcement postcard, regular mailed reminders, an incentive and phone follow-up. Based on power calculations, we were hoping to have about 5,000 families participate. We actually had about 6,000 families participate, so we were super pleased with this result. So King County always considers equity and social justice in the work we do, and we're actually lucky to have an equity and social justice office within King County. But equity is also foundational to the Best Starts for Kids initiative. The work is guided by a group of community stakeholders called the Best Starts for Kids Advisory Board. And on the right of the slide, you can see an excerpt from their equity statement. And you'll just see notably in here, this group called out race and racial equity, a redistribution of power and resources, and also that equity is foundational to the community that we want to build. So for our team, we knew that this survey data would be used to make funding decisions potentially to determine resource allocation and also to inform policy decisions. And so we knew that this data had to be as representative as possible to help achieve this vision of equity. We also knew that a challenge in prior surveys in King County was that they overrepresented the experiences of white and high-income folks. And so from the beginning, we really thought about extra stuff we could do to increase representativeness. And I think just overall, some of the things we tried were really to remove as many barriers to participation as we possibly could and to focus on recruiting families of color preferentially. So you can see a list here of some of the things we tried. I'm not going to go through each of these, but I'll just say that we tried really hard to incorporate community and voice throughout the process. We oversampled by race, ethnicity, and region. I'm not going to talk a lot about that. We had the survey and all associated materials in six languages. We offered families the option to take the survey by web, mail, and phone. So there were a lot of things we did. And I'm going to talk about what we think the contributions of these extra things were to representativeness in a little bit. But first of all, just skipping to the end, how did it go? We were really pleased. please. So if you look at the bottom bar, we can see that over half of our sample were children of color. And this is about what we would expect to see to be representative of King County overall. We can also see that 11% of our surveys were taken in a language other than English, which is what we would expect to see to be representative of King County. Unfortunately, we do see that only about 30% of our surveys were done by folks with less than a college educational attainment, and we would hope to see that being about more than half, around half, to be representative. So this data suggests that in terms of representing children of color and families speaking a language other than English, our data is pretty representative, but it may overrepresent the experiences of folks with higher educational attainments. And we did weight our data, so that may account for some of that bias. This is just a bit of a closer look within the children of color category because we are focused on racial equity for Best Starts. And just generally, I think we did pretty good. So we can see that the light blue and the dark blue bars are pretty close together generally. So we have fairly good representation. When we zoom in on Black and African American kids, we do see that only about 5% of our participants, parents said they were reported Black or African American as race ethnicity for the kid, and we would hope that to be more around 8%. So we might have a little bit of underrepresentation there. So we just wanted to know how this kind of stood up to previous data that we'd collected in King County. So once again, in the blue, we see our data where more than half of kids were kids of color, and this is pretty representative of King County. When we look at the orange bars, we do see that an underrepresentation of adults of color in the 2015 King County BRFIS by about half. So only about 19% of the 2015 King County BRFIS participants were adults of color, and we would expect this to be more along the lines of 34%. So what are the extra things? And I use the word equity-based approaches, and I think we're just loosely defining that as things we did on top of the kind of standard methodology that were aimed, our goal was to improve representativeness. So one thing we did is that we preferentially called families of color and families in South King County rather than just randomly calling families. So when we started, and you can actually see that that through this chart, which shows weekly participation amongst children of color, and we can see a pretty immediate jump in the dark blue line when we preferentially started calling families of color rather than just calling any random family. We also got weekly reports on breakdowns that included participation by race, ethnicity, as well as region. So we were pretty quickly able to identify a lag in participation among certain racial ethnic groups, and then we could think about what we could do to increase numbers in those groups. One of the strategies we used was to reach out to our community partners and just say, we're not doing so well. What might we do better? Can you get the word out for us? Another thing we did is we had the survey in six languages, English, Spanish, Chinese, which is really Cantonese and Mandarin, Vietnamese, Russian, and Somali. And even offering a survey in six languages is really, really difficult. So we were happy to have even managed that. But rather than using a translation firm, which would conduct a three-way interview between the participant and the interviewer, the University of Washington went ahead and hired bicultural and bilingual staff on their team. And this made a pretty big difference in our opinion. And so we can see that 670 interviews were done in a language other than English, and that this is roughly the distribution we would expect to see based on data from King County schools. So most kids in King County schools, Spanish is the most commonly spoken language, followed by Chinese and Vietnamese, with fewer kids speaking Russian and Somali. So this, I think it's just stark to see if we hadn't offered the survey in these languages, I think participation for these communities would have looked very different. Like I said, we also offered the survey in three different modes. Families could choose to take the survey online, by phone, and by mail. We did this because we thought it was more cost effective, but also because we wanted to remove barriers to participation. So what you can just see through these charts is just a little variation in amongst demographic groups and how they chose to participate. So this suggests that potentially offering the survey in multiple different modes did help contribute to the representation that we saw. So I mentioned that we did a lot of community engagement and outreach throughout this process, and there's kind of a list of some of the main things we did. I'm not going to talk about that in a huge detail, but we did, from the very beginning, reach out and say, what are the questions of interest? Where do we need data? And then we checked the questions we were asking to make sure they're relevant, and then we had communities help us get the word out as we were doing surveys. It's really hard to quantify the impacts of this outreach, but I definitely think our team feels like we have a much stronger and more relevant data product because we were able to do all this work. I also think it's clear that our team made a lot of inroads with community organizations. So now when we need help interpreting this data, or we need help with more primary data collection, we can reach out to all these organizations, and they know us and trust us, and vice versa. The communities now know that we have this data. They have an inroad with us, and so I think it's a benefit in both ways. And I also think that there's an increased sense of community ownership of this data. I think that our community organizations, because they had a voice in the beginning, maybe feel more like, this is a trusted source of information and may be more likely to use it. I'm not going to talk a lot about this, but one change we made to our survey based on feedback from our communities, who are more and more saying, like, I want hyper-local and hyper-disaggregated to describe my community specifically, is we included 21 different types of race ethnicity. I listed some of them out here, and this just shows the richness of data that we're able to show for kids and their ethnicity in King County, and I think this will be really valuable for understanding and informing culturally relevant programs for Best Starts, and also understanding which communities are benefiting from this money and which communities are need more work. So we have to do the survey again in 2 years. We really need to think about what we would do again, and also for all of you who are considering these issues as well, what would we recommend? I think overall we feel like it was definitely worth it to do all this extra stuff. You know, we feel like we have a much stronger data product that we can stand behind as a result of this. I didn't discuss this a lot, but we oversampled by race, ethnicity, and region, and we will definitely do this again. This is probably a huge contributor to our representation. If you can, I would definitely recommend monitoring your participation by key demographic groups. And if you're seeing a lag, reach out to your trusted community organizations and ask them what they think is going on and ask them how they would like to be involved and get the word out. You can see from the bullet points here that our survey was about $13 cheaper per participant than the King County BRFIS, while also being more representative. And so we think that the multi-mode data collection strategy had a lot to do with this. So that's something we'll definitely be doing again. And I really can't emphasize the importance of having bicultural and bilingual interviewers on staff if you are going to do surveys in languages, because our interviewers understood Best Starts for Kids. They understood our survey, what we wanted, what we were trying to get out of this, and then they also understood their communities and the cultural context, and they were able to translate between all of those things. And I think that is why we saw such good participation in languages other than English. Best Starts for Kids overall, so these are the things that we might do differently. Best Starts for Kids overall has really been getting the word out, so we can scale back our outreach next time, and we're really going to focus on working with school districts, and we know that that worked quite well, that having school districts get involved did help parents convert to the survey, and also work on community organizations that serve low-income families of color. I think we need to explore possibilities for only about 100 people total took the survey in Russian and Somali. So I think we need to consider whether we should do focus groups with those communities instead rather than offering the survey in language, because it's a lot of work to offer a survey, a high-quality survey in 6 languages. And I think we just really need to reach out to our communities and our organizations serving American-born Black families and understand what we can do to increase participation next time amongst those groups. And for the 2016 data we collected, I think it's important that we ground truth the data we did collect to make sure that what we're sharing is truly reflective of the lived experiences of those communities. So that was a lot. And I would love to answer any questions, but I just want to thank all the families who shared their experiences with us.
We have about a minute and a half to 2 minutes for questions.
I saw your guys' hands go first. Go ahead. Yeah.
I have a question about how were you able to fund the bicultural and bilingual
Yeah, so the University of Washington hired specifically. So they put out an ad that said, we want one Spanish speaker, and also included a bicultural competency in their hiring. And so they just reached out into communities and put the ad out there. And that's
they did
the survey on our behalf. Yep. And so they hired folks who had that skill set. Yep. One child.
If one family has like 5 or 6 children, they can't have, basically you can't possibly get 5 or 6 responses from a single family.
So we deduplicated our data set, so intentionally only one child per family was pre-selected. It's possible that families did sneak in twice, but there was no incentive. I'm not sure why anybody would do that. But we did weight the data in the end by number of kids in the household to try and account for different household sizes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We haven't quite gotten there yet. So we just finished cleaning our data set and are just starting to do data analyses. So our key goal is, as a part of this process and to maintain community trust, we have to get some initial data out there this summer. And then I think after that, we can focus on doing some of this deeper dive understanding of what the data mean.
Okay, we can take one last question.
It was for the Best Starts for Kids initiative, which is much bigger than this survey, but the survey was funded by the property tax. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.